Welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show. On May 25th, my guest today won the Jeopardy Ultimate Tournament of Champions and a $2 million pot. He is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and currently hosts a TV quiz show. Well, it starts again in the fall for high school students called Inquisitive, which airs on WLYH-TV, UPN 15 in central Pennsylvania. That's a mouthful. Please welcome Brad Rutter.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. You've just won $2 million in Jeopardy's Ultimate Tournament of Champions, and you regained the title of winningest game show contestant in history with $3,270,102. How do you feel?
I feel great. Actually, it's all kind of a little bit anticlimactic since it was taped 2 weeks ago, but still, it's fun to watch on television, and also it's been fun doing all the publicity for it and going around, being shuttled around Manhattan to all the morning shows.
Mm-hmm. Like the early show, for example.
Yes. Which they actually gave me the check on the early show. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Harry Smith tried to hold on to it, but I wouldn't let him. I had to threaten him, and he finally relented.
Hmm. Well, you had the lead at the end of each of the first two games. What was going through your mind following games one and two, respectively?
Well, during game one, it was just so close the whole way. Actually, it wasn't close the whole way. Ken got out to a very big lead early in the first round, and I was able to actually catch up with him by the end of Double Jeopardy. So, and then we all bet very conservatively. So I think the first and third were only separated by like $2,400. So it was almost as if we didn't have to play that game and we could have just skipped to Tuesday. Then on Tuesday, it was very close the whole way throughout the match until I was the only one to get Final Jeopardy that day, which surprised me. So I ended up with a $12,000 lead going into the third game.
Which, of course, you won.
Yes.
And in that Ultimate Tournament of Champions, you faced some formidable challengers in Ken Jennings, who you just mentioned, and Jerome Vered. What do you think of the way they played?
Oh, they were as advertised. They're certainly two of the greatest Jeopardy players of all time by any measure. But also, there were a lot of people who for whatever reason, due to luck or a bad category for them on Final Jeopardy, or the categories not lining up to their liking through the games. There's plenty, I think just about any of the 145 people who were participated in the tournament could have made the finals and probably could have won it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking with Brad Rutter, the winner of the Jeopardy Ultimate Tournament of Champions here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Now, before you won the Ultimate Tournament of Champions, you were a five-day champion in 2000. You won the regular Tournament of Champions in 2001, and of course you won the Jeopardy Million Dollar Masters the following year. What were those like?
Well, I went into my first five games really with just the goal of winning one so I could just tell people I'd been a Jeopardy champion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kept winning, and it was actually, they taped five shows a day, so it ended up being all in one day. I actually didn't get on the show the first day I was there. They held me over to the next day, which I think actually helped me out quite a bit because it cut down on the nervousness. I'd seen it all before. I'd played with the buzzer a little bit and played warm-up rounds, so it was a lot less intimidating going in there the second day. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was intimidating was that David, the champion, looked really good, and I wasn't looking forward to playing him, but I thought I'd probably end up playing off first on the second day, and that's what happened. And I, due to some bad luck by a very nice woman named Regina Sutton from Birmingham, Alabama, in Double Jeopardy, she actually got both daily doubles and got them both wrong, which kind of opened the door for me to take the lead and end up winning. I was actually in negative numbers at the first commercial break, so if things would have continued along that line, you probably never would have heard of me.
Nope. We would have just been talking about Ken and not you.
Exactly. And then the Tournament of Champions after the five games, that was a real thrill, too, because I'd seen everybody play, and I think the 2001 Tournament of Champions, which is the one I played in, probably had the strongest field of all time. The hardcore Jeopardy fans might say that maybe the 92 or 98 or 94 class were just as good, but I'm a little partial to the people I know. But mm-hmm. We had 14 five-time winners and the college champion, and I think that's the only time. I think in the first season they had all five-time champions and the college champion, but the only other time apart from that they had all five-time winners, and they didn't have to go down to the four-time winners. So, and plus, some of the people from that tournament did pretty well in the ultimate tournament. Pam Mueller was the college champion, mm-hmm. and she got into the semifinals. Lan Zhang was in that tournament; he made it to the quarters. And Rick Knutson, Mark Eckerd, Tad Carithers, who beat Leszek Pavlovich in the first round. Mm-hmm. A lot of good players in there.
Yes. And what about the Million Dollar Masters?
That was thrilling as well, because they had it at Radio City in New York, which was a lot different from the studio out in L.A., where you have about 200 people in the audience. Making the switch from 200 to about 5,000 or 6,000 was a little intimidating, especially coming out on the stage the first time and seeing that many people in there. But that was especially fun, because I got to meet some of the Jeopardy legends that I'd seen growing up, like Chuck Forrest and Frank Spangenberg, and mm-hmm. both of whom were also in this tournament.
Right.
And Bob Verini and Eric Newhouse, who were both in the finals with me and had been Jeopardy legends in their own right many times over before I even appeared on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun, too, and I can't complain about the money either.
Right. Of course not. So when did you decide you wanted to be on Jeopardy?
Well, my parents started watching the Alex Trebek show about as soon as it came on. They'd been fans of the old Art Fleming version. Mm-hmm. And I was about 6 when it came back on the air, and they just would always watch it after dinner, and I'd watch with them. And by the time I got to high school, I found myself knowing most of the answers. So I figured, well, if I ever get a shot to be on the show, I'd probably do pretty well. So I tried out for the college tournament, actually, my freshman year in college,
mm-hmm.
and I passed the test they give you, but they didn't put me on, and I kind of let it slip out of my mind after that. And about 4 years later, when I was living down in Baltimore, my mom saw that they were having tryouts in D.C., so she sent a bunch of postcards in for me, and one of mine got picked out, and they called me for a tryout.
Well, how do you prepare for a show like Jeopardy?
Well, really watching the show is the best way to go about it. You really get a feel for the categories they like to ask a lot about, a lot of geography, a lot of presidents, a lot of Shakespeare. And really, there's only so much subject matter they can cover. So if you keep watching, those categories will keep coming up, and eventually they'll repeat themselves in a question. They'll never repeat anything verbatim, but mm-hmm. They end up asking about a lot of the same stuff. So that's a good way to get familiar with that kind of stuff. And then there's certain things that always come up that you may not be as strong on as others. I'm not a huge classical music or ballet fan, mm-hmm. so I always brush up on them before I go on the show. And but really, the best advice I can give anyone is just to pay attention your whole life to weird little facts. And if you come across something that you don't really know about, take the time to go and look it up and find out some more about it, because that's really how I've picked up all this useless knowledge over the years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking with Brad Rutter here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. You currently host a TV quiz show in central Pennsylvania called Inquisitive for high school students out there. How did that come about?
Well, after I won the Million Dollar Masters tournament, I remember the crew of on Jeopardy just telling me, "Wow, hey, you look you seem really comfortable on camera." And I've always had a great time being on TV, and so I figured, well, what can I do with this cash windfall that I can maybe make a career out of and never have to get a real job? And TV came to mind, and what am I good at? I'm good at trivia, so hey, if I'm good at answering questions, maybe I'll be pretty good at writing them and maybe hosting a show. So I looked around and got some local producers together, and we did the first season back in spring of 04, and we were actually going to come back in spring of 05, but I found out about the Ultimate Jeopardy tournament, and there was a much bigger upside to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to spend time preparing for that instead, and so we had to push it back to the fall, and we're coming back November 6th.
All right. If I lived in that area, I would be looking forward to it. Unfortunately, I can't see it out there, but, you know, my sister probably could have seen it while she was at Penn State.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure UPN 15 signal gets up there.
Okay. Well, tell us about your presentation for high school students. Oh, but well, before that, we have a show similar to that in this area, hosted by a man called Scott Feldman. It's called the Long Island Challenge.
Ah, yeah, and I in college, I used to watch Mac McGarry on It's Academic in the Baltimore, Washington area, and I think that's actually the longest running quiz show on television. It's been
wow.
on continuously since like 1961 or something.
Wow. Well, as I was about to say, tell us about your presentation for high school students called You Have the Answer.
Well, it's basically telling them that they'll get a lot of advice from parents and guidance counselors and stuff like that, and it's all very well and good, and everybody has your best interest at heart, but the only person who really knows what turns you on and lights a fire under you is you, So try to find what that is and pursue a career path that will allow you to use that to get paid for it. So really, work doesn't seem like work if you're doing what you love and getting paid for it. So that's the key to happiness, really. And I kind of was steered a little bit wrong with, you know, good intentions all the way by my parents and guidance counselors who basically told me, you know, hey, go to college, go to grad school and, you know, get involved in one of the professions. But and that's a great career path for a lot of people. And a lot of people have been very successful that way. But it just wasn't for me. I would have rather have been working at something that I like to do, or maybe researching quiz questions somewhere, or you can get paid to do that. So trivia was basically the thing I was good at and liked to do. So I figured I would have been better off if I just started out doing that and not really gone off on in another direction. So that's basically what I tell them is try to find what that is that really turns you on, that you really like, and try to make a career out of that. And, you know, kind of it pays, especially when you're young, to throw caution to the wind a bit, because, you know, you'll never get another chance if you get off on in the wrong direction, and you might end up at a job you hate all the time, which is that's really the best thing about winning all this money on Jeopardy, is I'll probably never have to be in that situation.
Hmm. Well, I found something that I love here at CW Post. I started in 2001 here on WCWP, and I've enjoyed it ever since. Took a brief stint at WGBB in here on Long Island, but I'm back here, and I'm loving it here, and I love broadcasting, and I'm glad you love doing what you do.
And exactly, and I'm sure you probably could have got into some other stuff that paid better, but as long as you're having fun doing what you're doing, that's really what it's all about,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, that's the bottom line. We're talking with Brad Rutter here on the Mike Shamiri Show on Web Radio WCWP. Won the Jeopardy Ultimate Tournament of Champions back on May 25th. What else are you doing with your life at the... I sound like Jiminy Glick all of a sudden. What else are you doing with your life at the present time?
Well, I'm going to take some the opportunity to travel a little bit this summer. I'm going to go out to Vegas and see if I can double the $2 million. Not really,
nah.
But,
but you're going
all I ever do is play $10 blackjack, but I do have a good time out there. And I've always wanted to get to Australia, too, and so I'll probably end up doing that. I don't know if I'll have a chance to do that over the summer, but that's definitely on the agenda in the near future.
Okay, well, this is the last question, and it's probably similar to what I just asked. What do you hope the future holds for you?
Well, I'm hoping that we can get Inquisitive picked up by a syndicator, or maybe take it regional or national in the future. But I still would like to have a career in TV. I'm not wedded to the quiz show format, certainly, although that's what my background is. I think I'd be all right hosting a talk show, or maybe even being a play-by-play guy for a minor league hockey team somewhere. So any way I could stay in broadcasting, I'm pretty much going to try to do it.
That's the same goes for me. Well, Brad, I want to thank you very much, and for doing this interview, one of many you've done in the last month or so.
It's been a whirlwind.
And continued success.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, this has been Brad Rutter here on the Mike Shamiri Show, and we'll be right back with more music.